This is the Patty Vasquez Show.
Follow me on Twitter at Patty Vasquez, CHI.
On 720 WGN.
Some people see the revolution, but most only see the girl. I can lose my hard-earned freedom if my fear defines my world. I declare my independence from the critics and their stones. I can find my revolution. I can learn to stand alone.
Is it Monday night already? Happy President's Day. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios, and we are so thrilled the Blackhawks won after a crazy game. I was listening. At first it was 7-5, and then it was 7-6, and then it was 8-6. All I know is Blackhawks won. We'll take it in all of its madness. We are so thrilled that you're joining us, and we hope that you're happy, healthy, and safe wherever you are tonight. And don't forget, this is your conversation. We'd love to hear from you. The number to call or text anytime during the show is 312-981-7200. And again, let's join the conversation, because don't be passive. Join us. We have a lot to do tonight. We've got some music coming up after midnight. Comedian Paul Farvar will join us. We're going to find out what a vodka cleanses from comedian Michelle Traina after 11:30. She's performing live at Zany's all week. You can go to zanys.com to find out more about her. And as you know, the city of Chicago is holding their elections on February 26th. And joining us in studio is a candidate for the 46th Ward. She wants to be the alderman to represent the constituents, her neighbors. We have Erica Wozniak in studio with us. And Erica, you and I have kind of crossed paths. I've been covering Springfield and kind of hanging out with a lot of people who make decisions in the city of Chicago. What made you decide to run for alderman?
Yeah, so I've been a Chicago public school teacher for 15 years. I just started my 15th year. And I am disappointed, along with many other residents of the 46th Ward and Chicagoans in general, with the current state of Chicago politics. I think we need new independent leaders who are willing to stand up to the mayor and stand up for the working families that they're elected to serve. So instead of having people who are beholden to wealthy campaign donors, the politically connected, and rich developers, I think it's time that we hire a new class of independent leaders who are principled and progressive and are willing to do the work of the people and not for the politically connected.
The community of the 45th Ward, which is primarily uptown, is that correct?
Yes.
Is a wildly diverse area.
Yes.
You have property that's incredibly expensive, mm-hmm. and then you have folks who are just struggling to get by. Tell us a little bit about that disparity in your community.
Yeah, so the 46th Ward has uptown, and then we also have parts of East Lakeview. And so it's a place where people of all backgrounds have historically come to build a life for themselves and their families, regardless of class, race, or ethnicity. But it's also a place where the inequities in our city are abundantly clear. And so you have, like you said, we have people who have, you know, single family homes that are mansions that look yep. like they could be right out of Oak Park. And then we also have folks who are experiencing homelessness.
Mm-hmm.
We have the highest density of affordable housing units in the entire city, but we are also developing at such an alarming rate, and many of those developments, almost all of them, frankly, under James Kappelman's leadership, has been luxury developments that really aren't for the working families in the neighborhood, and most of them do not have affordable housing on site in those units. So we're disappointed, and you know, I'm obviously working to make sure that people have a fair shot.
The reason I definitely wanted you in this week is we've been talking on this show about affordable housing. We had on last week the author of High Risers,
nice.
Ben Austin, who wrote about Cabrini Green. And every time someone talks about affordable housing, that's the term they use. We don't want another Cabrini Green.
Mm-hmm.
What it really is when we talk about affordable housing, and I just did some research on this, there's a town in Appleton, Wisconsin, where I used to do stand-up comedy at the Skyline. There's a place where they converted an old paper mill into mixed income housing. And what they did was they based it on your income. So whatever, and it's a huge success. People in the town say so. There are communities throughout Wisconsin that have based similar projects on that. But Chicago is resistant, I think, almost entirely because of our segregation mm-hmm. and the idea that everything's going to be a Cabrini Green.
Yeah.
And you have a development in your neighborhood that I was struck by, which is the Stewart Elementary School.
Yes.
What a great idea to repurpose a beautiful building into apartments. And yet those are between $1,500 and $4,000 a month in rent.
Yes. I mean, it's absolutely crazy. And that's really the symbol of the direction of our neighborhood. The Stewart School, I was out there today. And it's a school that was closed along with 48 other neighborhood public schools in Chicago. It's repurposed into luxury lofts that, of course, cost $4,000 a month for a two-bedroom, which is absolutely bonkers to me. The fact that I'm a CPS teacher, my husband's a Chicago public school teacher. We've both been teaching for 15 years. On a dual income, we could not even afford to live in the closed school that our future children would have gone to. And when we're talking about affordable housing, too, folks think of, you know, something other than what it actually is. I mean, in Chicago, in the 46th Ward, you can make between $60,000 and $70,000 a year and still qualify for affordable housing.
That's the part that is so remarkable, is that people don't even realize. In my community, I live in Jefferson Park,
yes.
more than 52% of our citizens qualify for mixed income housing.
Yes. Yeah. And it's, I don't think it's wild to demand that developers provide affordable housing on site. Right now, as the current system is, developers have three options. Option number one, they can provide 10% on-site affordable housing. Option number two, they can provide 10% off-site affordable housing. Or option number three, which is the most beneficial to developers, is they can pay out and put it into a trust fund in the city. And a lot of developers in Uptown and in the 46th Ward are taking advantage of this third option because it's most lucrative for them, but it's not beneficial for the community. So when we're giving away in Uptown as well, we gave away $15.8 million public tax dollars to help subsidize luxury housing using our TIF dollars. And so a lot of folks are really frustrated with the fact that we gave away all that money and we incentivized something that already had an incentive to developers who are also funding the campaign of the person that I'm running against. They've given him a lot of money in donations.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we should be providing on-site affordable housing in any new development, let alone a development where we have provided them with public tax dollars.
Erica Wozniak is running for the 46th Ward Aldermanic seat, and you can follow her on Instagram and on Twitter. I know on Instagram it's Erica Woz with a K.
Yeah, so it's E-R-I-K-A 46.
Erica 46 mm-hmm. on Twitter as well.
Yes, and all the socials.
On all the socials. And your website?
Erica46.com.
Excellent. Well, more conversation when we come back. We also have, Michelle, is it Trina? I don't want to say your name wrong because I know you're
Trina.
Trina.
With the letter A at the end.
Excellent.
I love it.
Well, and we're going to hang out for a bit. We've got a lot to talk about tonight. And comedian Paul Farvar joins us in the studio. I think you're just here to see if Michelle will do your podcast. Let's be honest.
Yeah, she's doing the podcast.
She's going to do the podcast. Yeah. All right, fine then. See, you're just, and Erica's already married, so don't.
That's true.
Don't bother her with your singles only
Erica,
podcast.
Yeah.
All right. Paul Farvar, the host of the Singles Only podcast, and Everyone's a Lawyer at Laugh Factory. More in a moment on 720 WGN. Get real in the morning with Larry Potash, Robin Baumgarten, Paul Conrad, and the entire WGN TV morning news team. I feel like we leave people out on this. Annabelle Laval, Pat Tomasulo, Mike Toomey, Paul Conrad. Right, Paul? It just seems a little
I just
selective.
Feel like maybe we should leave Pat Tomasulo out of it.
Okay, you're just jealous because he has a show. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios. I was going to say April 2nd, but that's only if we have to have a runoff. And guess what? Everyone's going to have a runoff during the mayoral election and the citywide elections on February 26th. And running for 46th Ward Aldermanic seat is Erica Wozniak. She's in studio with us. She has been a CPS teacher for 15 years, which is not... easy. I know that other people are running on their experience as a teacher in CPS. Did you grow up in Chicago too?
No, full disclosure, I'm originally from Grand Rapids, Michigan. And hi, Mom.
My parents
are watching.
I love Grand Rapids. They have the country's best comedy festival. They have Laugh Fest every March.
Nice.
And it's also a great arts community.
Yeah.
So it's also a place where people seem invested in each other.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and that's part of the reason that, you know, I became an activist and an organizer in Chicago was because I saw the education that I grew up with in my small little town, and I thought that's what all kids deserved, and I didn't see that here in Chicago. But we have an elected school board. We have parents who are, you know, deeply invested. We had sports and PE and you know, all these great things that help to enrich a child's education. And so that's really how I got involved in this movement working to change Chicago.
Well, and what Chicago has been my entire life, I grew up in Norwood Park. And so I grew up in a neighborhood that had good schools, except for high school, which was weird. I mean, Taft High School was the kind of place. Now it's good. But back then, and people, you know, paid for Catholic schools or sent their kids to Lane Tech or Whitney Young, even from our neighborhood. What is it about this city where we decide this pocket will get the good schools and this pocket will have to commute or they're just not going to get the resources? What are your plans in terms of that?
Yeah, so first of all, you know I teach at Oriel Park, right? Yeah,
that's a good school.
Yeah, it's a great school.
One of the best.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm very lucky to be there. But I think the idea, well, I mean, part of what I've really been talking about in this campaign is, well, we have school-based budgeting in Chicago Public Schools, which means that each child that walks into a school building is allotted $4,100 for the year, and the principal just has to figure out what to do with that money. And so some principals are really creative and great and figure out different ways to do things. But I mean, the more enrolled a school is, the more money a school gets. But something that we don't think about is the student fees. Different schools have different capacities for different student fees. And so, for example, a school like Blaine Elementary School on Southport has a student fee of $250 per student per year. A school like Oriel Park, we have $125 per student per year. And then a school like my husband's school in Avondale has $25 per student per year. So there's discrepancy right there within our public school system of just what the parents can afford to pay per year in what the kids are going to get. And so that sometimes looks like technology, sometimes it's textbooks, whatever the school decides to use that money for. And some schools just, parents can't even pay a student fee. $5 is a lot for some parents. So right there, the inequities continue to, you know, be there.
Please, I saw some fundraisers for a school where they were losing their Spanish teacher, and they raised $150,000.
Yeah.
There aren't communities in the city, not every community, I would say there's like maybe what, a dozen that can stand up and do that and say, hey, we'll raise this money. And then what CPS does is they go, oh no, we're not going to eliminate that if you're going to raise the money yourself.
Absolutely.
It's mind-boggling, but another community that can't stand up like that, they say we're going to cut it, and they cut it.
Exactly.
So the other problem that a lot of communities face are resources for mental health and for healthcare. And I know in Uptown there's actually a great facility, and I hope that it's still being funded for care for the neighborhood. Because I know that when I didn't have insurance, I went to Uptown.
Yeah. Yeah, and Uptown is really the hub for that. I mean, it has historically been a place where people have just come and they've been welcome with open arms. And so it's been unfortunate to see that, you know, when the mental health clinics were closed down and, you know, that we lost a lot of those services. And so people have to make sure that they have a place to go. But mental health certainly is not a priority, not with the mayoral administration and not with our city council. So we need to make sure that people have access to those mental health clinics. And I love that I'm seeing some of the mayoral candidates running on a platform of saying that they are going to reopen the health clinics.
Great.
And that would be something that I would actively support. And also going back to the schools, which obviously I'm deeply passionate about, but also screaming from the rooftops that we need a full-time, just basic social worker in every single Chicago public schools. Because no matter where our kids are living in the city, in any of the 77 neighborhoods, they have some real trauma and they should have access to the services that they deserve. And teachers aren't trained social workers. I mean, we're doing that work, but we also need the support, and so do the kids.
What are your thoughts when it comes to, you know, obviously the pensions in the city and property tax? And people are, that's the thing that people want to know about. They want to know, how do we alleviate these stresses?
Yeah. So, I mean, we just had the largest property tax increase in Chicago's history. And I was very proud to help Fritz Kagi and his campaign. And I'm looking forward to seeing some more fairness in our assessments. But yeah, it really hurts. It hurts working families, and it's really frustrating to see that our city always has money for everything, like the Lincoln Yards or a Cop Academy or a DePaul Arena or whatever it is. We always have money for everything, but we continuously ask the working families in our city to do more and more and more and more. And so with the pensions, what's really frustrating is I'm obviously the recipient of a pension, and I pay into my pension. I also don't get Social Security, but I've never missed a pension payment. The city of Chicago, on the other hand, has. And it's the fiscal irresponsibility of those who are elected that they didn't uphold the promises that they made to their public employees. Think about who gets pensions: teachers, firefighters, police officers, people who are doing a public service. And it was like, oh, okay, well, we won't pay into that. We'll figure it out later. And it's not okay. So obviously we need to make sure that we keep those pension promises, but also look into new forms of revenue. So a very simple one is something that I've been working on for years, is a progressive tax in Illinois. Also legalizing marijuana. I mean, we're missing out on a massive amount of revenue by not legalizing it and making sure that we're getting that revenue, and also looking into other ways of getting revenue into our city. But I'm consistently, our city has asked the working families to do more, and it's not fair anymore, and we're not going to take it. And I think that's why you see a whole huge slate of people who are putting their hat in the ring and running for office, and saying enough is enough.
Before we go, and you're welcome to hang out for a little bit too. We had Michelle hanging out through through your segment, so you're welcome to hang out during hers. But what do you want to leave the constituents of your community? What thoughts do you want to end on as far as running for your campaign and the election day on February 26th?
Yeah, I think just a few different things. Number one, our city council right now, I host a monthly talk show that features women in leadership in the city, and I am so proud of that work, but I'm also so horrified that our city council is less than 30% women. So when you're going to the polls, just make sure you're voting for women across the slate. But also, we don't have a single Chicago public school teacher in city council, and we're making all these huge decisions. And I think the voters in the 46th ward have a lot of great options. Of course, I hope they choose me, because I'm going to be an empathetic, principled, progressive, and independent-minded leader. And I hope to go back to teaching someday. I'm not going to try to just be an alderman for 40 years. And I think that it's great to have options. And I, this is, you know, an exciting time for Chicago.
46th Ward, that's one of your candidates for February 26th. You can obviously vote early. Follow Erica on her Twitter and Instagram, which is Erica46.
Yes.
And Erica46.com.
Yes.
For our website. Good luck.
Thank you so much
to you,
for having me.
Of course, and to all of your opponents. we are, you know, I don't have any skin in this game. But I think that anybody who steps up and does a job, or offers to do a job that most of us can or won't do, and says, I am ready to lead, I think that's important. And I ask you to come back regardless of what happens.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much.
And hang out if you want. More in a moment. I have water if you want some. More in a moment. I don't have much. I think I have an M&M somewhere, Paul. Somewhere. Do you want M&M's? All right.
Oh, thanks.
No. Okay.